After a day of feasting on the Lord's Word through the ministry of our brethren, it's now time for us to contemplate some of the Lord's blessings to us. And our brother Todd Alexander has agreed to provide this Vesper service for us for this evening. So it's my pleasure to turn over the platform to Brother Todd.
Thank you, Brother Ted, and good evening, brethren. It's a great pleasure to be with you folks today, and thank you very much to the Chicago Ecclesia for providing such a rich feast of good things. Brethren, yesterday in my discourse, I spoke about some very exciting and scary things. We talked about some very frightening things that are coming. And we live in this world, and even though we're not from it, we're affected by it. But God has provided a refuge. He's promised to be our refuge. When I was a little boy, I was grew up in a family of six children, and my mother, when she was a young teenager, she did an embroidery of Psalm 46, and it was a big picture that hung in the hallway, and it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We see the signs of the presence of the Lord, but the psalmist David tells us not to be afraid. God will be our refuge. He will develop us and help us when we are in need. Let's read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth a spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Brethren, our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6:25, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Now, Brother Richard Doctor, in his opening prayer, he talked about the extreme trials and difficulties of the brethren, and we're mindful of many of you who are going through difficult experiences. This past year, we've gone through a collective experience with the financial struggles in the United States and then throughout the world. It's hard to be positive sometimes when your life seems to be sinking into the water. And to be honest with you, I actually felt this way a year ago when we were going through the economic crisis and my retirement account was cut in more than half due to the economic crisis. And I was afraid and nervous for the future. I'm sorry to say, but I was. But the Scripture told me not to be afraid. The Scripture told me not to be afraid. The Spirit's witness that works so powerfully within us, thank you, Brother Rick, told us through the Spirit not to be afraid. This year, this past year, my faith has become more meaningful to me in this time of crisis. This picture we took it about a couple of weeks ago, and Sister Marilyn and I were fortunate enough to watch the sunset here. And I thought it was a good metaphor of how sometimes the waters invade our life, and those monuments that we set up sometimes are overwhelmed, and we feel like we're being overwhelmed. But this is where we were. This is the big island of Hawaii, and that picture that I just showed you is actually up on the far left corner of the big island. I know I can't point to that screen over there, but God sees the big picture. We only see what's in front of us. This happens to be the largest mountain in the world. It's the mountain of Mauna Kea, and it's taller than Mount Everest because it has most of its height underwater. And I think that was a good lesson for us. You know, we have the promises of God in the Old Testament. We have the promises of God in the New Testament. But sometimes these promises of God, they're overshadowed by our life experiences. But God sees the big picture. And He sees that He has us under control. The following poem has been especially meaningful to Sister Marilyn and I in our last 30 years of our life together. It's written by John Henry Newman. And it goes like this. I learn as the years roll onward and leave the past behind that much I had counted sorrow, but proves that God is kind. That many a flower I had longed for had a hidden thorn of pain, and many a rugged bypath led to fields of ripened grain. The clouds that cover the sunshine, they cannot banish the sun, and the earth shines out the brighter when the weary rain is done. We must stand in the deepest shadow to see the clearest light, and often through wrong's own darkness comes the very strength of light. The sweetest rain, the sweetest rest is at evening after a wearisome day, when the heavy burden of labor has borne from our hearts away. And those who have never known sorrow cannot know the infinite peace that falls on the troubled spirit when it sees at last release. We must live through the dreary winter if we would value the spring. And the woods must be cold and silent before the robins sing. The flowers must be buried in darkness before they can bud and bloom. And the sweetest, warmest sunshine comes after the storm and gloom. This is a poem that's entitled Life's Lessons, written by John Henry Newman. We've arranged for a men's quartet. We'd like them to come up now. And they're going to sing words that were penned to the tune of Shenandoah, the music Shenandoah. And these are words that are written to the words of Psalm 46. It's a quintet. I told them to rock the roof off.
mountains tremble at the raging of God's army. There is a river, a pure fountain, that feeds God's holy ones. Jesus, new
Sometimes it's hard to see the forest because of the trees. Sometimes our life overwhelms us. But there's a nice scripture in Job chapter 38, verses 32 through 33. It says, "Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?" And there's an interesting four-slide sequence here that gives us some tremendous insight to this concept of guiding Arcturus with its suns. Just to give an idea of how our planets in our solar system relate to each other, you can see the largest planet in our solar system, Jupiter, here, compared to the size of our Earth. And in this picture, you can see Earth as it relates to the size of the sun. And that big planet that was Jupiter is now dwarfed by the size of our sun. But now we see how large Arcturus is. And Arcturus dwarfs even our sun. And Jupiter, which was massive on two slides before, is about the size of one pixel on the screen. And Earth is invisible at this scale. This is Betelgeuse and Antares, two large stars. And now you can see Arcturus is very small. It reminds us of the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I think the lesson for us here is that God is in control of a lot more complicated things than our life. He's in control of the universe. And he's in control of some fantastic things that are going on, explosions that are happening in the universe, new stars being created. You know, Arcturus is a red giant. And Arcturus is about 25 times larger than our sun as far as the diameter. But because of its larger size, it radiates about 100 times the light of our local stars. And if you consider infrared and other forms of radiant energy, Arcturus is actually 200 times more powerful than the sun. This is what God is in control of. But Arcturus is not only special because of its brightness. Arcturus is special for another reason, and it is not moving with the general stream of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Instead, Arcturus is cutting a perpendicular path through the galaxy's disk, and it's moving at 150 kilometers per second. That means it could get from Columbus, Ohio to Chicago in 4 seconds. Millions of years from now, this star will be lost from view of any of Earth's future inhabitants. It has an escape velocity. But we are promised, we are told in Job, that God is in control of Arcturus, this fantastic star in the heavens. This is the constellation Pleiades, and we are told that this is the direction from which God is touching the earth. And when I look at the Pleiades at night, I usually always look at it, look for it. I feel God is with me. I feel that God knows what I need. I'm reminded that God knows how I feel. And let us remember that Jesus looked at this same picture during his earth's ministry. Obviously, Jesus helped power the universe and create the universe. But during Jesus' ministry, he saw this same constellation, perhaps at night when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. King David saw this same picture at night when he communed with God, when he let God search his heart. We're reminded of Psalms 20, verse 6 and 8. This is a promise that we can claim tonight. Psalm 20, verse 6 and 8. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, from the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. We are risen and stand upright. Brethren, we have a strong position because we're given promises from the Creator of the universe. Another scripture I really like is Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. The Lord promises to be with us in time of trouble. The Lord promised to be with Joshua in time of trouble. The Lord promised to be with David in time of trouble. And the Lord promises to be with you in time of trouble. No matter how insidious and how captivating and how gut-wrenching it might be. These are the words that he spoke to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Friends, we can claim this promise tonight. Another scripture that I've enjoyed that David wrote is in Psalm chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the earth, the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Every morning, I go to a certain website and I download the picture of the day. If you look up on your internet browser, astronomy picture of the day, you will find all of the pictures that I've downloaded for the past 4 years. And those are the pictures that I've shown you today. We arranged for the Milwaukee Singers to sing The Church is One Foundation, hymn number 281. Thank you very much. That's beautiful. This past year, I've become to appreciate the moon a lot. The moon is in our night sky, and we can look at it every night and appreciate it for being our protection. And earlier this year, last year on Bible Study College Connection, Brother Richard Doctor gave three fabulous presentations on creation. And these are two slides that I used out of his presentations, and it shows how God protected the earth You know, the size of the moon for the Earth is very unusual as moons go in our solar system. Our moon is 10 times larger than any other moon in our solar system, especially in its size relative to the planet Earth. We'll talk about that in a minute, but along with that is the Earth's habitable zone. And this blue image on the screen shows the area in which the Earth has to stay in order to be habitable by human beings. And there's lots of science behind this illustration, but suffice it to say that the Earth, which the Lord hangeth upon nothing, is in the perfect spot for His children. And it's in the perfect spot to develop the new creation. This is an image that portrays what it might look like if you were able to look at Earth from a distance and see the magnetic atmosphere or the magnetosphere that's surrounding the Earth. You can see the Earth inside the circular rotation of the moon, and then you can see the big blue shroud that's coming from the sun. And I believe, as Brother Richard told us, that the moon is particularly placed around the Earth and it's controlling the Earth's magnetic field. And what the moon does, it serves to constantly buffer the solar wind and divert harmful solar particles that might bombard the Earth. My friends, God has provided mankind the ideal environment for humanity to grow and develop. He's thought of our every need. But you and I have been called to a much higher calling. But we need the safe environment of the Earth to develop. And this safe environment of the Earth was intended to develop the new creation. God is in charge of our lives. God is in charge of our lives so much that He provides things for us that we don't really even know about. Did you see the beautiful moon on New Year's Eve, just 2 days ago? This is what that moon looked like if you were watching from Africa. And you can see that there's a partial lunar eclipse. The Earth's shadow is covering part of the moon. And this eclipse could have been seen from Europe, Asia, Africa, and parts of Alaska. This is the moon that you would have seen if you were watching the skies from Beijing. And this is what the moon looked like on New Year's Eve for our brethren in Europe. Friends, the moon was provided for you and me. The moon was provided to be a safety net for harmful particles coming from the sun. And just like the moon, God is protecting us in many real ways that we don't even know about. He's protecting us from the harmful darts of the adversary. He's protecting us from things that we're not even sure of. I remember when I was a young boy, my mother told us about an experience where we had, 9 of us in a Volkswagen van. And there were 6 children, 2 parents, and my grandmother in the van. And the van stalled at a stoplight for some unknown reason. And it couldn't get started. And 20 seconds later, there was a high-speed police chase right through the intersection. And my mom said that if we would have been able to go, we would have probably been hit. But those are the things that God is protecting us from in our daily life. And those are the things that He's providing us with. He's providing for our protection. He's providing for our sustenance. He's providing this fantastic Holy Spirit that develops us. Thank you for providing the seminar for our young people. Just as God is providing safety nets for us, you as an ecclesia are providing a safety net for our young people, a place where they can grow and grow in their individuality. Now, this is the group picture that we took 3 days ago, and I asked them to do something special, and that was jump. Now, I usually, Matt and Katie Mitchell, Matt Mitchell and Katie Alexander got married last year, and their photographer asked the bridal party to jump, and I was so impressed with that, I had to try it here. And what happens in when you ask somebody to jump in a photo is their individuality comes out. Now, some of the people jump. They all jump. But some jump with their hands in their pockets. Some jump with their hands in the air. Some jump with a smile on their face. And some jump with a serious look. Some jump early. And some jump late. But they're all jumping. And they're all having a great time. And I would propose to you that if you could ask them about their inspiration, this would probably be the closest visual representation. You inspired them by providing this seminar. You are providing a refuge for these young people that is just as important as the refuge that you're being provided by God. It's just as important as the moon providing a refuge for the earth, that we might live and grow and have our being. So let's keep inspiring our young people, and we will support you in it. Sometimes the refuge God sends us is His people who come alongside us and developing us. Thank you for being willing to be a tool of the Holy Spirit. My brother Tim and I have a special ministry opportunity with the brethren in Japan. And this is a picture that was taken in 2003. And it's a picture that's taken in a 1,000-year-old Japanese sanctuary. And we were able to go with the Japanese brethren to visit this 1,000-year-old Japanese sanctuary, and some very rich lessons were learned at this point. I have to give Brother Owen Kindig the credit for pushing us over there. We first went over in 1993, and then in 1995. This was in 2003. This picture was taken, and we were also there in 2008. And one thing I've learned in the big picture of this presentation tonight is that the refuge that God provides us is through the service that we give back to Him. Now, this is a very peaceful setting. It's as peaceful as this photo that's on the screen. And Brother Tatsumi is about 72 years old. And he's as strong as an ox, but he's about this tall. And he can stand and walk on his hands. He's very physically fit, and he loves the Lord. He taught himself English, and he translates every Friday night for our Bible study. But what we learned in this sanctuary, this 1,000-year-old sanctuary, was some very powerful lessons that I'd like to share with you. This is a picture of a walkway with the shadow of a tree branch. And this shows how nature's lines are usually not straight, but man creates things with straight lines. Sometimes the lines and the path that God provides us in our life are not the straightest, but He gives us purpose. He gives us harmony, and He gives us beauty in our life. He provides a beautiful garden for our life to grow. He provides everything we need to be at peace in our Christian experience. If we need water, He gives us water. If we need sunlight, He gives us sunlight. And just like the master gardener at this 1,000-year-old Japanese garden, He tends to every purpose. He looks at every leaf. He uncovers every thought and every worry in our lives. And He takes care of us. He prunes us. He takes off the bad leaves, and He provides nurturing where we need it. Our life has a symmetry about it, if we find it. There is a purpose for things, and there is a natural order of things in our consecrated lives. The lessons that we have are hard to find, especially when we are going through those times of deepest sorrow. But when we back up and look at the big picture, we can usually find some purpose and some harmony. We might not know of the purpose for another 10 or 20 years, but it will surely come. The beauty that He provides in our life, the colors, the radiant colors that He provides, are spectacular if we take time to look. Mankind creates things too. We have the opportunity to create things too. And we need to create straight things. But let's not forget the beauty of the sunlight that reflects through anything that we can create. Let's not forget the beauty of God's creation that we use in every aspect of our life. Let's make straight paths for our feet through the garden of life that God provides. It was a beautiful experience to be taught of the Lord here. You know, Brother Tim and I went over here to be leaders, to be presenters, and to be speakers. But we were taught. We were taught by the Japanese people. We're taught every Friday night by Brother Tatsumi and Brother Ishikawa. But we were taught here of the manifold power of God's creation. But more importantly, we were taught by Brother Tatsumi and Brother Takeki and Sister Noriko and Sister Kayoko of how they interacted with the nature. The Eastern mind is different than the Western mind. They have a certain appreciation of nature that we don't really have in the West. In the West, our minds are always dissatisfied and we're looking for something. We're looking for the next big thing. But in the East, the Japanese brethren are at peace with their surroundings. And they are very patient in the way they nurture themselves and in the garden. When they go into their gardens, they are at peace. Whether it's a small bonsai plant on the back of an apartment patio or whether it's a massive 1,000-year-old garden, they're at peace with themselves. And it reminded me of how we should be at peace with ourselves, how we should be at peace in the garden that the Lord provides for us. There are stepping stones in our Christian experience. There are stepping stones that leads to green pastures and to still waters. We're promised this in Psalm chapter 23. We're promised rich experiences with truth. The opportunity to drink deeply of the waters of the truth and inspire ourselves. To be inspired by the Lord and in turn to inspire others. There was one special experience at this garden, and it is a little cove at the top of this craggy stairs. These stairs are 1,000 years old, and you can see they're tended and cared for by a gardener. And at the top of these stairs this day, I came across this. And it reminded me of a discourse that Brother Ed Lorenz gave when we were young. I don't know if you remember it, Tim, but I certainly do. Brother Lorenz gave a talk called The Dipper of Faith by the Pool of Prayer. And thank you for putting that on the Bible Students Library, Brother Jeff and Brother Carl. And this was a special moment for me because I saw a beautiful metaphor here that beside this beautiful, quiet pond, there was a dipper that I could dip and drink deeply in this pool that the Lord provided, this beautiful, refreshing water. It was a quiet moment. All of the senses were tantalized when I was here. The sound of the water in the brook, the smell of the fresh green moss, the water refreshment in my mouth and the taste, and it was very beautiful. So this was a special moment for me in this garden. One of the opportunities to learn about not being anxious came for me a couple of years ago when I learned to try to convert anxiety into the creative process. And what I mean by that is this. A trick that I learned was to think of anxiety when I'm anxious about things. Think of anxiety as my two hands being pulled together by a very strong rubber band. If you can think of a very strong rubber band pulling my hands together, what's going to happen? Well, either my lower hand is going to come up to my upper hand or my upper hand is going to come to my lower hand. And if you think of your upper hand as being your vision, where you want to be, and your lower hand being your reality, where you are, and that rubber band being creative tension instead of anxiety, let that creative tension pull your reality up to your vision. Let the Lord help you. Trust in the promises of God. Remember, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's a beautiful poem. It's written by Rich Mullins, and it's called If I Stand. And it goes like this. There's more that rises in the morning than the sun, and more that shines in the night than just the moon. It's more than just this fire here that keeps me warm in a shelter that is larger than this room. And there's a loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiments, and a music higher than the songs that I can sing. The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance I owe only to the giver of all good things. There's more that dances on the prairies than the wind, more that pulses in the ocean than the tide. There's a love that is fiercer than the love between friends, more gentle than a mother's when her baby's at her side. So, if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that was born in me these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home. Now, this is the video, Brother Derek, and this is a 3-minute video that I'd like to show. It's Brother George Washington. He's singing Amazing Grace, and he sang at the Huntsville Convention 2008. So if we can get the audio to cooperate, we'd like to listen to Brother George Washington sing Amazing Grace. It is Brother George is 87 years old. He's been in the Bible students for 7 years, and he came into the Bible students through the tapes of Brother Russell's writings, and he's blind. He used to be a minister. He used to take people on vacation trips and educational trips. He's been over to Greece and Thessalonica, to different Athens and Ephesus, Pergamum, Smyrna, 11 times. And he would like to. He's going to sing this song for you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears really. How precious did the grace appear. The I first believed when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We'll know less things to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
I got his permission to play that for you. The Lord brought Brother George to that convention to be a blessing for me, I'm convinced. We have a closing hymn, Behold the Bridegroom, and we've collected about 20 photos of some brethren whom you might know. And we might have an extra 5 minutes. How many of you would like to hear that quintet sing that song again? I think maybe if we get the microphone up here, we could... is the quintet still here? Okay. Okay, let's hear an encore. And if you'd like to sing along with the encore, you're very welcome. I'll have the words on the screen. But first, we will close with hymn number 230. And as a guide for our hymn player, we don't need you to play the song for the quintet, just 230. I know this is a little different, Brother Ted, but maybe we'll just continue through this song for right now. Time for the quintet. Time for your next service here. Now, brethren, the words will be on the screen. And for you, you're welcome to... Why don't we let them sing the first verse, and you're welcome to come in after the first verse and sing the rest of the four verses after that. It's to the tune of Shenandoah. I would not change your singing style. Let the brethren follow.
God be with us. He is our refuge, our strength in times of trouble. We will not fear, though earth will fail us. Into the midst of seas, God is our help in trouble. The waters roar, the mountains tremble.
God is our help.